We have been talking about transformation, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, the way you think. And so we've looked at a number of areas in the way you think about your spiritual life, the way you think about your physical life, the way you think about your emotional life, and so on and so forth, your mental health. And today we want to talk about the way you think about your relational health. We typically just take friends as they come. And we have a number of friends that perhaps are on our Facebook page. I have, I don't know, close to 600 that are listed. The reality is I probably only have maybe 50 that I would really consider friends. The rest are just acquaintances, people that are that make actually very little contribution into my life and me into theirs. They may follow me, but the interesting thing is, if you decide that you just want to unfriend them, you will never hear from them for like 4 or 5 years, and then you decide to unfriend them because they're just taking up space on your page, and then all of a sudden you hear from them as though like that was the greatest offense you could have ever done, was unfriend them on your page. But let me tell you this, not everybody on your Facebook page is your friend. Not all of your friends on your friends list are actually your friends. There are typically two types of friends that we have. The first one is this, casual friends, which are the result of circumstances. So they may be people that you would consider friends, acquaintances that you work with, that you go to school with, that you've come in contact with from time to time because of a circumstance in your life. And then there are close friends that are the result of choice. Close friends are the result of choice. They can be people that you work with. They can be people that you got to know through circumstances, but you make the deliberate choice to be close friends. You invest in them, they invest in you, and they are different than your other friends, your casual friends. Proverbs 27:19 in the Living Bible says, "A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses." Let me say that again. A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends that he chooses. You are the compilation of the five closest relationships that you have. You are. That's who you are. If you were to take five people that you are very close to, that you spend a lot of time with, that you consider to be your friend, you are a compilation of those. They reflect who you are. That is why it's so important, particularly when our kids were young, that we wanted them to have their friends over to our house. Why? So we knew who they were hanging out with, and we could kind of keep an eye on the type of relationships that they were developing. We would prefer most of the time for those kids to come to our house rather than our kids to go to their house, because we could kind of keep order and keep track of who they were associating with. And sometimes there are people that you would rather your children not associate with. Maybe those children, not because of what they do, but because of the type of parenting style that that child has, you say, well, we're really not going to allow our children to spend a lot of time with them because their parents are too permissive. Their parents are too hands-off. Their parents are more interested in being their child's friend than actually being a parent. And so you make those choices. And as you continue into an adulthood, we hope that you would continue to make those choices. Proverbs 12:26 in the NIV says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully." The righteous choose their friends carefully. We live in an environment where we think that everybody has to be friends. We have to be friends with everybody. And we have to get along with everybody. And we have to tolerate everybody. No, you need to be discerning. There are people that are toxic that you should not have in your life. I have kind of written off some folks, just ended the relationship with folks who were toxic. Did not want to be associated with them because they had a behavioral style that was toxic, that was not helpful, that was not honoring, that was demeaning to other people. And so I just made the choice. Sorry, we're not going to hang out. You know, and my life didn't end because I let those friends go. So there are five kinds of people to avoid as close friends. Five kinds of people to avoid as close friends. The first one is this: lazy people. Lazy people. In 2 Thessalonians 3:6a, it says, "Our friends, we commend you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to keep away from all believers who are living a lazy life." You say, really? That's in the Bible? Yes, that's in the Bible. Lazy people. Lazy people will bring you down. Lazy people will suck the life out of you because if you're willing to work for them, they're very willing to let you do that. And so the scripture tells us that we are to avoid as close friends lazy people. That doesn't mean you can't be friendly to lazy people. You just don't let them into your inner circle. Secondly, angry people. Angry people. Don't make friends with people who have hot, violent tempers. You might learn their habits and not be able to change. Proverbs 24, 25 through 26 in the Good News Translation. Angry people. You know those people that just seem to be at the boiling point all the time? Often they seem to be managers and maybe bosses that just, you know, they just seem to be at that boiling point where they could just blow up at any point. Sometimes you have them in your families, and it's tough when you have someone that is like that. Angry people are difficult to get around. And so when somebody is angry with you, what is the natural reaction? To become angry with them. If someone yells at you, the natural reaction is for you to yell back. We learned in how to de-escalate a situation is that when the situation gets heated, instead of raising your voice, you need to lower your voice. Speak more calmly. But let me tell you something, that is extremely difficult to do. Extremely difficult to do. So if you can, make sure that angry people are not close friends. Number three, immoral people. Immoral people. In 1 Corinthians 5:9 through 11 in the Good News Translation, it says, "I told you not to associate with immoral people. Now, I did not mean pagans who are immoral or greedy or are thieves or who worship idols. To avoid them, you would have to get out of the world completely. What I meant was that you should not associate with a person who calls himself a believer, but is immoral or greedy or worships idols or is a slanderer or a drunkard or a thief. Don't even sit down to eat with such a person." You say, wow, that's in the scripture? Yes, that's in the scripture. So in other words, what it's saying is those who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, who are followers of God, if they participate in immoral behavior, you should not befriend them. You should not be friends with them, close friends with them. Now, there are people who do not claim to be believers, who do not follow God, who do not submit to Scripture and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we are not to avoid them. We are to what? We are to win them over. But what happens is that when someone claims to be a follower of Christ and they participate in immoral activity on a regular, consistent basis, and you befriend them, become best friends with them, they are certainly, at the least, going to destroy your credibility and your testimony, and at the most, may actually lead you astray. And so you are not to be close friends with them. The Bible has a lot more to say about that, and perhaps at another time I will look into that for you. But even within the instruction with Scripture is that when you find someone who is participating in an immoral activity, what are you to do? You are to take, you are to confront them privately. You are to go to them privately and say, hey, I don't think you ought to be doing that as a follower of Christ. The Scripture is very clear in that. And then if they won't listen to you, what does it tell you to do? It tells you to go with another person and talk to them and try to what? Try to win them over. Try to convince them to change. Try to help them in changing. And then if that doesn't work, what are you to do? You are to take it to the church. And you are to say to the church, you are to consider whether they should participate in the church, in the ministry of the church, in the governance of the church, while continuing to be in that immoral behavior. The Bible makes it very clear how we are to handle that. And then if they still won't repent, what are we to do? To put them out. To put them out of the church. But we don't do that in churches. You know what we do? Is if someone has an immoral, participates in an immoral behavior and that you know of or somebody else knows of, they bring it to the pastor. After they've talked to a bunch of people about it. And then they bring it to the pastor, and what is he supposed to do with it? He, well, according, you know, I mean, I'm supposed to confront that issue with them. And if I confront that issue with them, guess what? They most often will get upset or get angry and leave. And then, well, that pastor, he just can't get along with anybody. And sometimes I get so frustrated because people will bring those issues to me, and I think the Scripture tells you to, this is the way to do that. And you've already violated that because you've talked to all of your other friends about that person. And by that point, it's almost unsalvageable. The Bible gives us specific ways in which we are to deal with immoral people. One of the reasons why, and this is free, one of the reasons why we have our elections for officers the way we do, in that you don't nominate from the floor. We don't ever nominate from the floor in our church. You know why? Because I've been in churches where someone has stood up and nominated somebody, and there were people in leadership who knew that maybe that individual was struggling in their marriage, or maybe that individual was conducting business that was illegal or certainly not ethical. But nobody wanted to embarrass them. Nobody wanted to say anything, so they voted that person into church leadership, knowing that they had that problem. So what we do as a church is when you make a nomination, you nominate it to the nominating committee, and the nominating committee will review that name, and then we go to that person and we say, you have been nominated. However, because of this, we feel that you should not accept the nomination. If that person says, I feel that I should accept it. I want that nomination. Then we post that as not recommended. We will simply say that. It's not, we don't have to give a reason why. We just say that it is not recommended. I've had people who wanted to be treasurer of the church who were going through a personal bankruptcy and were hiding assets from the bank that they could have paid off their bills, but they chose not to, who wanted to be a treasurer. I didn't want to expose all of that to the congregation at the congregational meeting, but rather deal with it privately. And guess what? Because they weren't approved as treasurer, and for a few other reasons, they decided to leave. Immoral people, we are to not be friends with them, close friends. If we choose to be close friends with them, then we have to truly be a friend and tell them that their behavior is in disobedience to God. But a lot of people don't have the strength to do that. And so if you don't, then don't be their friend. I've spent way too much time on that. Number four, avoid as close friends greedy people. Greedy people. In Proverbs 23, 6 through 7, it says, "Don't eat the food of selfish people. Don't be greedy for their fine foods. Selfish people are always worrying about how much the food costs. They tell you, eat and drink, but they don't really mean it." Greedy people. Number five, unbelieving people. Unbelieving people. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers." Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. We could say a lot about that because there are people who specifically will use friendship evangelism. And I think that that is appropriate, where you can befriend somebody for the purpose of sharing the gospel. But let's face it. Many of us will befriend someone hoping that somehow our spirituality will rub off on them without ever sharing the gospel with them. And we think that, well, just because they hang out with us, they're going to want to be like us and whatnot. If you choose that as a path, you have to be very specific that you will share the gospel with them. You can be acquaintances with them. We're commanded to do that, to be friendly to them, but we do not have to be close friends with them. So we've given you five kinds of people to avoid. So choose friends who will. We're going to tell you what type of friends to choose. Choose friends who will, number one, challenge me mentally. Challenge me mentally. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise." Walk with the wise and become wise. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." How are your friends challenging you? Are they challenging you? Or are they the type of person that is constantly saying, "Go ahead, it'll be fine. You can do that. Don't worry about it." You want people who are going to constantly challenge you, who are going to question your decisions in love, but say, "Should you really do that?" Now, so this morning we kind of celebrated people who had been married a long time, and there's some real good long haulers here in our family time. But so let me put this scenario before you. someone who will challenge you mentally. When you see that your spouse is going down a road that is not good for them, do you speak up or do you just let them go? Let me make it maybe a little more practical. So, guys, your wife comes to you with an outfit and says, should I wear this? And the outfit really isn't flattering. What do you do? Do you say, sure. Don't tell her anything.
Don't tell the truth.
So then you let her go out in an outfit that is unflattering, and she exposes herself in this unflattering outfit to everyone she comes into contact with. Or do you say, honey, that doesn't really look that great on you? I can see I've struck a chord of controversy here. You want somebody who will speak the truth in love. You need someone to challenge you mentally, cause you to think. You want someone who will make you a better person, who will cause you to become a better person, cause you to want to become a better person. I'm going to move on before I get in any more trouble. Number two, you want to choose a close friend who will support you emotionally. Support you emotionally. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2 in the New King James Version. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want as a close friend someone who is going to be there when times are tough. You want someone who is going to cry with you. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us to celebrate with those who celebrate and to weep with those who weep. And so you want that type of friend. There are people who just don't want to handle bad news. And so when you go through a difficulty, they just take off because they would rather not be bothered. You want someone who will support you emotionally. Now, let me say this with supporting you emotionally. That doesn't necessarily mean that you let them wallow in their misery. That's not supporting them emotionally. There are times when you need to encourage someone, okay, let's move on. It happened. Let's move on. Let's not wallow in this. Let's not become bitter. But you want someone who is going to be there to support you emotionally. And sometimes that is telling people, okay, let's pick up the pieces. Let's move on. Let's walk. We can't stay here in this spot forever. Number three, you want a close friend who will strengthen me spiritually. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Strengthen me spiritually. That's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 in the NIV. Hopefully, as you participate in small groups and you encourage each other, maybe some of you will become friends. It's interesting that people will make the comment. As a matter of fact, I had someone recently who made a comment that they didn't have any friends, that they were lonely. And so I said, have you tried to make friends? Have you gotten to know other folks in the church, people your age? Have you been to church? Have you participated in what we offer here? Have you sought to be a friend? Well, no. Well, then whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? You want people who will strengthen you spiritually, who you can confide in, who you can study with, who you can share insights with, who will share insights with you, who will cause you to grow closer to Christ. So let's transition. We've looked at five kinds of people to avoid or behaviors to avoid. We've looked at how to choose close friends. And number four, we're going to look at how to build healthy relationships. So how to be a good friend. Number one, get interested in other people. Get interested in other people. Unfriendly people care only about themselves. Unfriendly people care only about themselves. Proverbs 18:1, New Living Translation. If you're so self-absorbed that all you want to talk about is you, then you're really probably not a good friend. However, if you want to make a good friend, if you want people to think that you're the greatest friend, just listen. Don't say a word. Just ask them questions. Become a person who asks questions, follow-up questions. Now, one of the things that happens in being interested in other people is, and I find myself in this category, and so I apologize, but lots of times when I'm talking to someone, I'm thinking ahead about what I want to say next rather than listening to what they're saying. I'm probably the only person in this room that does that, and so I ask you to pray for me. But we find ourselves doing that, thinking about how we're going to respond to their question. Oh, that reminds me of a good story, and we can't wait to share it. And so sometimes we even interrupt them in the midst of what they're saying. That's really not being a good friend. Get interested in other people. Number two, don't be a chronic complainer. Don't be a chronic complainer. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. There are some people who love, they're happiest when they're complaining. It's a weird phenomenon. But unless they have something to complain about, they are not happy. And you can tell if that person is a chronic complainer because they don't want to solve the problem. Because in reality, they feel like if I fix this problem, then I won't have anything to talk about to other people. And what they want is people's attention and people's empathy. And what they've learned is that if I share with them a problem, then I've got their attention and I have their empathy. And so they just continue down and they become chronic complainers and whiners. Number three, be a good listener. Be a good listener. My dear friends, you should be quick to listen and slow to speak or to get angry. James 1:19 in the Contemporary English Version. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. If you are quick to listen and you are slow to speak, then the angry one takes care of itself. But if you don't listen and you're quick to respond, anger happens. You say things you probably shouldn't. So be a good listener. Be a good listener. Number four, accept people unconditionally. Accept people unconditionally. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Romans 15:7. In other words, people are going to come with baggage. People are going to come with problems. People are going to come with issues. And you accept them as Christ accepted them. However, we can say this about Jesus Christ. He will accept you just the way you are, but he will not leave you just the way you are. So accepting someone does not mean that you just let them be. If you can accept someone who has an issue, you can accept one who has a problem, you can accept one who has maybe a behavioral issue or something like that. But as their friend, if you choose to be their friend, you have some obligation, and certainly as a Christian, you have some obligation to try to help them through it. In other words, you don't reject them just because they have a problem. Because the reality is, when you came to Christ, you had problems, probably more than most of us know of, and He accepted you. So, accept people unconditionally. Number five, help people feel significant. Honor one another above yourself. Honor one another above yourself. Romans 12:10, the NIV. Number six, be sympathetic. Again, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Be sympathetic. I could also say be sincere. Would fit right in there. Be sympathetic and be sincere. Number seven, I'm going to wrap this up quick. Stick with them in tough times. Stick with them in tough times. If one falls, the other pulls him up. But if a man falls when he is alone, he's in trouble. Again, what is the motivation there of sticking with someone? Is to help them stand back up. They don't need people who will just let them lay and wallow in their misery, but will help them back up. Be sympathetic, be patient, but and stick with them through the tough times. Number eight, share Christ with them. Share Christ with them. Jesus said to a man in Luke 8:39, "Go back home and tell everyone how much God has done for you." And the man went all over town telling everything that Jesus had done for him. Pastor Rick Warren gives a great illustration in this, and maybe it hits home to you, but you might have friends or acquaintances or people that are semi-close that you've never shared the gospel with. You've never thought, well, it's going to rub off. Eventually, someday, they're going to want to be like me, and you've never shared the gospel with. And so he gives this illustration, this technique. So you go to that individual, and you say, you know, we've been friends for a while, for a number of years, and I need to ask for forgiveness, your forgiveness, because there's something that I've been keeping from you. There's a secret that I haven't shared with you. And so I just want your forgiveness because I haven't really been totally open and honest with you. And if that person's a friend, they're going to be like, yeah, okay, all right. But what are they going to want to know? What's the secret? So once they say, okay, yeah, sure, but what is it? Then they have opened the door for you to tell them that you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you've never shared that plan of salvation with them. If you're really good friends, you will do that. He says, good friends don't let good friends go to hell. I mean, that really sticks it to you. Good friends don't let good friends go to hell. So if you have a friend that you haven't really shared the gospel with, there's a technique that you can use with them. Luke 6:31 NIV says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And so really, in how to build healthy relationships, you have that verse right there is it all in a nutshell. You want somebody to listen to you? Be a good listener. You want somebody to accept you as you are? Not leave you there, but accept you as you are? Well, do the same for others. You want somebody to be, you want people to make you feel significant? Help them to be significant. Encourage them. Praise them. But above all, share Christ with them. Good friends, don't let good friends go to hell. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray, Father, that we might be intentional in our relationships, that we might sort through those relationships that aren't good for us, that maybe are toxic, that we would have a conversation, the difficult conversation, and say to those individuals, listen, our relationship isn't healthy. And break from those who are unwilling to change. But above all, God, we want to make sure that we are genuine and that we share our faith with those whom we call friends. It doesn't mean they have to come to our church. It doesn't mean that they necessarily have to be a part of our denomination, but that we share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ and what God has done for us in our lives. That we're open and honest about that. And even if it means an end to the friendship or the relationship, may we trust you, God, that we have been faithful to do what you have called us to do, and that we have put our love and devotion to you above that of our friends. Help us through this process, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.